Ramsey TV.
It's tough to be living through prophecy. It really is. We don't have any experience in it. We don't think sometimes they're going to be happening to us. Why? This is why. Because our lives seem just too ordinary. From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula to distinguish it from any other peninsula, such as, I don't know, the Korean Peninsula. This is Martin Zender, broadcasting from my kitchen. Now, I had a thought about the shepherds the other day. This might be a short video, but I want to share this with you. It's packed with import. It's pregnant with meaning. It's stuffed with something that starts with S. And that is, I thought of the shepherds who, while they were minding their own business, tending their sheep in the night, there appeared crazy lights flashing above their heads. And things, I imagined, whisking through the air. And these were angelic messengers. And they were putting on a light show. And then they began to sing a tune. Very much in harmony. Very much ecstatically wonderful in its sound vibrations. And it was glory to God in the highest. And peace to most people on the earth. And it went something like that. I don't know the exact words. I forget. But the shepherds were, these are poor men generally. The shepherds weren't in the upper strata of societal richness, we might say. And so this is God's way. They were humble men, and yet they were being honored with being the first ones to be told about the birth of the Messiah, the first ones to be directed to the actual barn where the Messiah was, with his mommy and daddy, Joseph and Mary, and the animals. So they, being astounded, never having seen anything like this, they just went with it. They rolled with it. And the messengers, the angelic beings, told them where to go. Told them, go to Bethlehem. You're not far from there, a couple miles over there. Walk in there. You're going to find this barn next to the True Value Hardware Shop and Joe's Diner. Right in between there, there's a muddy alley, right? And then you see the barn. And if you see the large pile of cow poop next to Cindy's hairdresser, you've gone too far. So they went and they found it just as the angels said. And of course, they're famous now. They are absolutely famous. They're in the scriptures. And I often wondered, you know, there are no follow-ups in the scripture. What happened to these guys next? What happened next? Were their lives completely changed? Did they ride the ecstasy of seeing the Messiah? And I think Joseph probably took the baby and put the baby in their arms. I think they passed Jesus around kind of like I wanted to say a sack of potatoes, but I don't want to use that as an analogy of the Savior of the world. So, but I think the shepherds were very awkwardly holding. They all wanted to hold the baby, and so I think they did, and then they passed him on to the next guy, and the next guy held the baby Jesus just as awkwardly. I don't know when the little drummer boy got there. Most of the Gospels omit the entrance of the little drummer boy. I happen to think he came in after the shepherds. He goes, how do you follow that act? Well, with a little drummer boy, that's how you do it. And so I thought, what happened to these guys later? This is what happened to them later. Now, I have no scripture for this. This is just me, but I think this will help you. They went home. Their wives said, where the hell have you been? And the one shepherd, I'll call him Shemp after the famous stooge of the Three Stooges comedy routine, Shemp said, "You're not going to believe this, Hazel, but we saw a bunch of angels. It was purple light. It was blue. It was yellow. It was just flying all over our heads. And we heard this beautiful song. It was a song like I've never heard before. It was melodic, better than Billy Bob Jones and his multicolored duck orchestra." That was a famous group back in the first century. So, and then we saw him. Hazel, we saw the Messiah. I held him in my arms. I held the Messiah of Israel in my arms. And honey, I'm on cloud nine right now. But no, and we have cloud nine. In the first century, it was cloud two. They hadn't progressed. The clouds came as the centuries wore on. So back then it was cloud two. Cloud one was in the days of Noah. Okay, I got scriptures for you. I'll share that with you later. So I was on cloud two. Hazel, I'm still on cloud two. And his wife, Hazel, looked at him, looked at Shemp. And she said, "Well, that's very nice, dear, but the rent is 2 days overdue. My mother-in-law's coming tomorrow. You promised to fix the hinge on the shed. And I prepared meatloaf for dinner, but because I was worried about you, it's burnt." Old Shempy went like this. He went, back to earth. Back to earth. For the man that one of the Stooges would be named after. And it was all gone but the memory. But for the next 30 years, the guy, Shemp, and his cohorts and his fellow shepherds, only one guy, I think there were like 15 shepherds, this is my guess, I don't know ever about, only one guy went home and told his wife, and she's like, that was awesome, tell me more. But then after that, she said, she was really nice, listened to his story and everything, and like, yes, that's awesome, you held a Messiah, wow, can I smell your hand, you know? Yeah, and, but then she said, well, I hate to tell you this, but the water bill's due. So even the guy whose, you know, wife was all for it, he was back to the real world. Oh, I forgot to say, the water bill's due. And then as he was contemplating that fact and realizing he didn't have enough money to pay the water bill, he heard this in the background. No, it wasn't the baby Jesus. It was his kid who had the croup. That's what a baby sounds when it has the croup. This one had it. The guy had problems because he had no insurance. Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention that his horse buggy had broken down the day before outside of Jericho. And he had just quit the auto club the week before. Isn't that how it works? You quit the auto club because you can't afford it, and then the next week, you figure, I'll get by. Then the next week, your buggy breaks down outside Jericho. What the hell? What the hell? So for the next 33 years, these men and their wives and their croupy kids and their horses, they're all on the earth at the same time. Messiah's on the earth. They're on earth with Jesus Christ. They could walk to Jerusalem and see him. Maybe they did. Maybe they were in the inn club, and from that day forward, they had carte blanche to visit the Holy Family. Oh, speaking of the Holy Family. The Holy Family, yes, speaking of the Holy Family. They had neighbors. And the neighbors, need I say, were living through prophecy. Not for a day, not for a week, for 33 years. And they were probably, while Jesus Christ was being crucified, they were at home reading the newspaper or playing a dice game or taking a nap while the Son of God was being crucified for the sins of the world. They were living through the most epic event that ever happened in the Aeonian times, and they were taking a nap after reading a newspaper and playing a dice game. My point is that Living through prophecy is tricky. It's tricky while you're living through it. We look back and we say, oh, I wish I could have been living in the days when Jesus Christ was on earth. Why? You want to take a nap? You want to play a dice game? You wouldn't have even known it. Probably. Paul didn't even know it. Paul did not even know he was on the earth at the time of Messiah because he thought Jesus was a big faker. Life is so ordinary. It's just, I can't get over it. I'm trying to pass this on to you that no matter how epic the day we are living in, no matter that some of us were aware of the sign of September 23rd, 2017, the same stars that the Apostle John saw, the same planet alignment that the Apostle John saw on the island of Patmos. It's like we looked at it with that app, right? We saw the arrangement. There it is. That's what John saw. Then somebody said, well, what are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to eat? It's hard to wrap our brains around the commonplace and the supernatural spiritual events. And in our case, the events that are taking place around us that were prophesied in Scripture. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that we could possibly be the ones who are living through this day, or that we could possibly be the generation that's going to be snatched away. I know many people just don't believe it because of their ordinariness, because they're walking on the ground, because their electric bills due, because their rent's due, because their washer and dryer broke. They just cannot believe that they're the generation prophesied by Paul that will be snatched away, members of the body of Christ that will be taken away into the air to not taste death. You can't believe it because you're in it. You're in it. And life's so ordinary, but that is how it is. It's the juxtaposition of the magnificent with the ordinary. It can take your mind and wreck it. It can wreck it. It can destroy spiritual thoughts because you're obsessed and you're distracted by these common, ordinary things. Like I said, Jesus Christ had neighbors. He had neighbors. He played with the kids. They had no idea they were playing with the Messiah of Israel. Or, for that matter, the Savior of the world. No idea. The head of the body. Hey, you're living next to the head of the body. No idea. So ordinary, and yet there they are. They're living a dream. Hey, we're living a dream. Don't be distracted or tricked. Not distracted. I want to say don't be tricked. You can be distracted. We're all distracted, but don't be tricked by thinking that because you're going through these ordinary things, because you're suffering, that you are not living through some of the most extraordinary times that have ever been prophesied of. You are. You are living in it right now, and you are the generation that will be snatched away. Don't let the ordinariness, the flatness of life convince you otherwise, because this is just how God does it, and He's never done it any differently.